and are justified freely by his grace through Jesus Christ our Lord. In communication research and in marketing research, there are three pieces of information about you that if I can find out, I have a very good idea of predicting your next course of action. Never mind the fact that the devil knows, seems to know, all he does is get the same research that everybody else does. And that is, if I can know your educational background, if I can know your economic background, and the most important piece of information I can find out about you is what you do in your spare time as a hobby. That will tell me more about you than anything else that I could possibly imagine. And very often in communication research, you will see questionnaires that will ask you what you do in your hobby. They ask it almost parenthetically. It's because that is the most important thing they can find out. So let me tell you a little bit about my hobbies. I like tropical fish. I also like astronomy. I enjoy looking at the stars. Not because I want to decide what magnitude they are, or I can't even name for you all the constellations in the night sky. But when I bring out my telescope and look at the stars, it is the most deeply spiritual experience I have, because I believe they were put there by the voice of God. What does that voice sound like? I can remember one time when I first got a hold of one of my larger telescopes. I had it out in my backyard in Pleasant Hill, California, when I was still with the Northern California Conference. And this is a GPS telescope. It knows where it's at. You don't have to do anything. I mean, it's astronomy for dummies, really. And I decided to look at an object in the night sky called M3. It was now about 1 o'clock on a late summer evening, early morning, actually. My wife was asleep in the upstairs bedroom, and I was downstairs in the backyard with my telescope and about 20 raccoons. By the way, I love animals and feed them too. I have foxes at my home, all sorts of stuff. Any case, I punched up on my GPS on this telescope an object in the night sky called M3, which is not visible to the naked eye. It's named for Charles Messier, a French astronomer who cataloged things that weren't comets. And the telescope slowly slewed around in the sky and found M3 in the eastern sky. I focused it and looked through that telescope at that collection of 10,000 stars that are all clustered together, and let out such a gasp that my wife thought I was having a heart attack and came running to the window. I was mindful of the fact that what is man that thou art mindful of him? What kind of a voice is it that is able to do that? The mere movement of air past the vocal cords can create stars and planets and whole galaxies. What does that voice sound like? I mean, is it like Charlton Heston? Ellen White indicates there was nothing descript about Christ to stand out. What did his voice sound like? Because this is a voice that can talk to dead people. I've done a lot of funerals in my lifetime. Brothers and sisters, you're going to do some in yours too. There have been many times when I wanted to go into a funeral home. I can remember doing children, wanting to walk in there and wake them up, just as Jesus did to the widow of Nain. One crowd's on their way out, one crowd's on their way in, the two crowds meet, Jesus heals the little boy, raises him from the dead, and the two crowds are mixed. Amazing story. The widow, Jairus' daughter, is another one that comes to mind. I mean, don't bother coming, the little girl is dead. And Jesus walks in and says in such a tender voice, what did that sound like that a little girl who's now dead can listen to it? Little girl, arise. And she wakes up, and Jesus indicates his great compassion in the fact that he just gave her back her life, but is more concerned about the fact, at least initially, that she needs to be fed because she's probably hungry. The most amazing one, of course, is Lazarus, one of the funniest stories in the Bible for me. I'm sorry, you probably wonder about me at this particular juncture, but there is great comedy here, almost like Shakespeare. They roll away the stone, as you recall, because Jesus told them to, and they said, no, we shouldn't do that because this guy stinks. He's been in there for 3 days. This is where the funny part was. When Jesus raises Lazarus, Lazarus's first action is to go, eesh. What is that smell? That's you, brother. The Lord has an amazing way of cleaning up our stench. I am reminded that Ellen White indicates that if Jesus Christ did not say, "Lazarus, come forth," if he just shouted out, "Come forth," everybody in their grave around there would have come out. He had to be specific. What kind of a voice is it that can do that? Keep in mind, I don't care how good your voice is, how mellifluous you are, how great you are at putting words together. Without the power of God behind you, you are nothing. Because you can't wake up dead people. And there is a day coming when I fervently hope that voice will wake up a few of the people that I have lost. And should I go before Jesus Christ comes again, I just wish that I could be conscious so I could hear that voice. You're dead, and all of a sudden, hey, I hear something. I'm reminded that Ellen White indicates that our thoughts at the resurrection are our thoughts at death. My mom's going to wake up on the resurrection morning and go, "I can't breathe, I can't breathe, I can't breathe." And the angel will say, "Well, hey, I've got something that'll take your breath away. Check that out." All of it done by the voice of God, this incredible voice. I grew up in Glendale, California, as the video showed, just a few blocks from the Voice of Prophecy. And if you were a Seventh-day Adventist in Southern California 30 or 40 years ago, you spent your Sabbath afternoons at Forest Lawn Cemetery. I kid you not, this is where Adventists went. We had picnics at Forest Lawn Cemetery. I mean, we'd go down and feed the swans and have picnics around graves. People are married in that graveyard all the time. It's so beautiful. It's like the beginning and the end. I can remember many, many, many times in Forest Lawn. If you've never been there, it's still there. You ought to go see it. The largest painting in the world. The Hall of the Crucifixion at the top of a mountain that can be seen all over the Los Angeles basin in many areas. There is the Hall of the Crucifixion painted by the Polish painter Jan Stika. It is 140 feet wide. That's 14 stories from end to end and about 80 feet high. Painting of a picture of Christ at the moment just before his crucifixion. And I had seen that program so many times as a young boy, I could almost narrate it myself, but I never did because there was something magical about that. In the Hall of the Crucifixion is where I first heard the Pathetique Symphony by Tchaikovsky and fell in love with classical music. It is the first place I ever heard Richard Strauss' Death and Transfiguration, which I am convinced the angelic host will be playing as we near heaven. I so desperately wanted to narrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ to that music that in this year's Voice of Prophecy around Easter time, I actually did it, took the words from the Desire of Ages of the resurrection. But it was the voice of the guy that narrated it that really set me off. He had a voice that could read you the phone book and you'd go, "Amen." It was the greatest voice I have ever heard in my entire life. I have never heard anything on earth to match it yet. I have been a student of voices, and so I set about to find out who that set of vocal cords belonged to. Very early on in my young life, I started contacting Forest Lawn and saying, "Who is the voice that narrated the Hall of the Crucifixion in Forest Lawn in Glendale?" Nobody seemed to know. Nobody seemed to have any idea. "We don't know." As I got into radio, I would send official-looking letters back to Forest Lawn and saying, "Please, could you tell me, who is that voice? All I want to know." No one could tell. My quest searching for the voice that I had longed to hear all my life on this earth seemed to have come to an end. Until quite a few years later, I had a young girl and a young son by this particular time, and we were visiting the island of Oahu in Honolulu. And there we decided to take a trip over to the other side of the island to go to the Polynesian Culture Center. I had been to the Polynesian Culture Center enough times that I didn't particularly care to ever go back. I hate the taste of poi. And I had played the games, but my children just absolutely loved it. And so I was bored and was looking for something to do when an announcement was made over the public address system. "If you would like to tour the Mormon Temple," which is right next door, as you know, the Polynesian Culture Center is owned by the Mormon Church. "And if you'd like to tour the temple, get on a bus and we'll take you over and take a tour." And so I said, "That's cool. That's something new at least. I'll try that." So I went over to the Mormon Temple, and there I was standing around a kiosk looking at the layout of the land and wherever all the buildings were, just kind of whiling away my time, when an individual relatively nondescript, considerably shorter than I am and considerably less heavy, walked up to the table and said, "Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'll be your tour guide for this afternoon's tour." And I paused and raised my eyes, looked right in his eyes, and said, "You are the voice I have been looking for all of my life." This caused him some considerable consternation until I said, "You are the guy that narrated the Hall of the Crucifixion at Forest Lawn in Glendale, California. I would know your voice anywhere." And he responded, "That was me." Now my quest on this earth is done. I have heard the voice that I was looking for. I have one quest that remains: to hear the voice of God. It would be enough for me, and I do not say this lightly, it would be enough for me on the resurrection morning just to hear that voice for a few brief shining moments, and then to be totally and completely obliterated. I wouldn't care, I'd still praise his name, because all I want to hear it is just for a few seconds. And the Lord will say, "I'm sorry, but you've got billions of years headed your way." To hear the voice of God. The voice that will say to my father and my mother, "Lloyd, Pearl, arise." I'm reminded of another woman who's going to hear that voice of God that's going to actually, really, figuratively, probably blow her mind, and that's Leah. You remember Leah from the Old Testament? I mean, she is treated like dirt. She isn't loved. She isn't wanted. She's been tricked into getting married. And on that resurrection morning, the angel's going to call her out of the grave and say, reading from the book of Revelation, "Leah." And she's going to say, "Who is that?" And the voice is going to say, "The Lion of the tribe of Judah." And she's going to say, "I had a son by that name." And the angel's going to say, "And that's your descendant." The voice. It changes people. Not our voice, God's voice. And I've got to tell you, brothers and sisters, there is one thing that I will hear, I have heard too often in my ministry, and I hope you don't hear it in yours. That is, "Pastor Kinsey, if you only knew what kind of a sinner I was, you'd know that the Lord can't forgive me. I've done too much. I've committed too many ills. I've committed too many sins. I've done too much with my life. The Lord can't possibly forgive me." And then I will remind them of that voice that has the capability to say, "Let there be light," is the same voice that can say, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." Why is it that we as Seventh-day Adventist Christians, and it seems so under attack right now, and I won't let it happen as far as I can do, I'll need everyone else's help. Why is it that every 7 days the Lord says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh is mine"? Why is it? Is there anyone here who is willing to suggest that the reason for which we must honor creation is because when we get to the new judgment, the Lord's going to say, "Did you honor creation to keep my Sabbath?" And if you say no, he's going to say, "You're gone." I don't know what's happened. But I can say this, for me, this is what it means. Every 7 days, the Lord says, "Fred, I need you to remember that I created you." Because as you all know, if you're great Bible students, there are two things throughout Scripture which the Lord says, "I can do, and you never will be able to do." You haven't done it yet, and you won't be able to do it no matter how much you try. That is, number one, you can't create yourself. I did that. And number two, you can't recreate yourself. Only I can do that. I learned that the hard way coming here to the seminary. I had no desire to be here. I was only whiling away my time waiting for another graduate school to open up. I was working at a rock radio station when I made my decision to come to the seminary. Got in the middle of a Doobie Brothers record. I didn't like the Doobie Brothers, so I shut it off. Turned the monitor down and let the Doobie Brothers record play, and God and I got in an argument. Have you ever noticed how when you get in an argument with God, you don't hear his voice at all? You hear yours. You don't hear his. I said, that's when I made my deal. Okay, I'll go, and if it works, it works. If it doesn't work, you get off my back and leave me alone. The problem with it is many disc jockeys, especially commercial radio stations back then, had mouths that could rival truck drivers. We were very, very good. We would swear at the top of our lungs, and as soon as that mic went on, we'd clean our act immediately. Almost all the time, I must admit, almost. I was actually suspended from one radio station for swearing on the air, so that gives you some idea of where I came from. Now, when I came to the seminary, I was still working at WHFB up in Benton Harbor. Worked 40 hours a week up there in addition to my graduate school studies here. And those guys loved to taunt me. There was a couple of them that worked there, nice guys, but they knew I was a seminarian and they knew I wasn't supposed to talk like them, and they enjoyed giving it to me. I did everything I could to change my behavior. I tried every behavioral modification program known to man. I'd knock on my head, bite my tongue whenever I said things. There is a wall in Berman Hall that felt my wrath because I couldn't say it, so I took it out with my foot. I couldn't change. I tried. I did. I really did. And then, as I found myself falling in love with the Lord, reading through the book of Romans, as I mentioned, for I do not understand the things that I do. The things that I want to do, I don't do, and the things that I don't want to do, those are the things I keep on doing. Who will deliver me from this body of death? There is, therefore, now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The voice that talked to the adulterous woman, I mean, she was an adulterous woman, and says to her, hath no man condemned thee? Well, neither do I condemn thee. It's amazing what this voice says. Go thy way and sin no more. And as those words began to sink into me, brothers and sisters, I began to recognize that I would go up to WHFB and listen to some of those guys talk the way they were doing to me, and all of a sudden I recognized that their language sounded foreign to me because I wasn't talking that way anymore. I was still around it 40 hours a week, but I wasn't talking that way anymore. It wasn't just this experience of not being around it. I was around it. What I was more around was Jesus Christ, and that voice that said, let there be light, was the voice that was saying, Fred, I'm going to straighten up your tongue. You want to play rock? You're going to play the Rock of Ages. There were times when I desperately hoped any that my seminary professors would not hear the Fred Kinsey show in the afternoon up there. They would say, oh man, the standards of the seminary have gone down. Now I've begun to recognize that that voice can do miraculous things even when you materially can't hear it, because it is the voice that can do what you cannot do for yourself. And so every 7 days when Creation Memorial comes around, I am reminded that the voice that said, let there be light, is the same voice that's now saying, Fred, I'm not done with you. You're well aware of that, but I'm remaking you into my image. I'm making you into someone who can properly reflect the love of God to those with whom you come in contact. But Fred, I'm going to need one thing more than anything else from that, and that is that you must clearly recognize that it's not your voice that causes these things to occur, it's mine. So on this earth, my quest met a successful ending. I found the voice that I had been looking for all my life. But now the quest continues to hear the voice of God. May your education cause many individuals to hear that, and may there be many individuals listening to the voice of God in the resurrection because of what you do. May God bless each one of you, shall we pray. Gracious Father, I would humbly ask that your spirit be poured out on each individual here. There was a time, you know, Lord, when I really wasn't seeking that, and somebody must have been praying for me because you found me. Help those individuals here to be blessed by the same Spirit that I was, so that others might be found because of their ministry, through them. Help us to remain faithful to that calling, Lord, because there is a devil going around like a roaring lion who does not want these individuals to succeed. Thank you for the Spirit that is present here, and thank you for the Spirit that will go from here because of what has transpired. In Christ's name, amen. Let me make one personal comment now that I'm done. I almost got kicked out of several schools because my hair was too long. So let me share with you this blessing and acknowledgement of church administration that I have learned over the years. Do not spend a lot of time worrying about a problem that will take care of itself.